Bankers set to get big holiday bonuses, but the pay may come with strings.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Welcome to the Morning Open, when we take a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts its trading day. Regulators are considering requiring financial companies to pay part of executive salaries in stock. More on that in a minute. First, let's take a look at the markets. Where's Wall Street? The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 32 points, nearly 0.3%, to 11,510. The Nasdaq up 0.4%, about 10 points, to 2660. The S&P 500 is up 0.4 as well, 4 points, to 1252. That's a two-year high. Financial stocks are looking good thanks to some big deals this morning. Toronto Dominion Banks agreed to buy Chrysler's old lending arm for more than $6 billion from the private equity firm Cerberus. Regulators are reportedly considering making financial firms pay executives partly in stock and other deferred compensation. That's to give executives a stake in the long-term health of a company. Here to talk more about this with us is Julie Nieman, an analyst with Smith, Moore & Company in St. Louis. She joins us live. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Stacey.
Julie, how likely is the government to step in and regulate executive bank pay?
Well, they did it somewhat during the big banking crisis. The Fed basically stepped in and the Treasury stepped in and attempted to claw back, especially when you had executives who were fudging the numbers. But the new Graham-Frank bill really is not going to give that much control to corporations over what you kind of executive pay you're going to have. The biggest problem is there's really no rhyme or reason on how these bonuses are paid. It supposedly is for the long-term health of the corporation, but there's been absolutely no correlation with that. So basically what it is it's a disadvantage to shareholders, and the question is, are you really getting good bang for the buck here? And there's no evidence that bonuses really do that.
And bonuses are supposed to be up this year, is that right?
Right. They're looking on average about 5%, you know, so everybody is getting significantly larger bonuses. A few of the larger corporations like Goldman Sachs has tied it to stock options. But stock options intrinsically are hugely disadvantaged to the shareholders because they're basically diluting everything that the shareholders have. And there's really no evidence that compensates executives any better or any worse than just plain old cash.
What would be a good way to regulate bonuses, or is there a good way?
Well, there is, and one of the easiest ways is to get more shareholder influence on the board of directors. They're usually the board of cronies, and they just put in anything that you want the existing management to have. Have them represent shareholders more and get more outside influence, and that means independent outside ones. The other easy one is to not allow corporations to deduct them from their taxable income. As soon as you take that away, it becomes less of an incentive in terms of a lot of bonuses are paid depending upon how much a company makes. Well, that would lower how much a company makes because bonuses, especially in the case of some that happened in the middle of the financial crisis, was
right.
Were 86% of all the TARP money.
Julie Nieman with Smith, Moore & Company in St. Louis. Thanks, Julie.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. By Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by MassMutual, offering LifeBridge to help lower-income families protect their children's education at massmutual.com/LifeBridge.
The Federal Communications Commission is set to approve so-called net neutrality rules today. Marketplace's Eve Tro has more.
The FCC says Internet service providers can't block or slow down websites. Say you get web access from Quest and you want to stream a movie from Netflix, but Quest has its own movie site. It might slow down Netflix. That's the fear.
There certainly are a lot of stories of possibilities, but there aren't a lot of realities.
Former FCC Chairman Harold Furchtgott-Roth says Internet providers think the FCC is overreacting. And he says wireless companies who deliver Internet on smartphones will not be regulated. That's likely to skew how the Internet grows.
Investment will likely gravitate towards areas where there's less regulation.
The battle comes down to Internet access versus content, says Carl Howe at research firm The Yankee Group.
The content providers want as many people to have access to their sites as possible.
the internet providers would like to be able to restrict access and charge more for fast access.
Service providers will likely take the FCC to court over their right to do that. I'm Eve Troe for Marketplace.
This year, for the first time, advertisers spent more money online than in print. Here to talk about that with us is Andrew Frank with Gartner Research's media team. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
How significant is this?
Well, I think it's something that a lot of analysts, myself included, have been predicting would happen for a long time. So in some ways, it's no surprise. But in other ways, it is something of a milestone in the evolution of media.
A lot of retailers and companies not that long ago were very uncomfortable with online ads, or at least the price structure was very unclear. Has that changed recently?
Well, there's been a lot of innovation, as everyone knows, in the way that ads are sold and priced and generally done online. But I think that there's still some confusion and lack of clarity on the local level as to what the best way to advertise online is. And maybe there's an opportunity for the news organizations going forward to help some of those local merchants get a better result from their online advertising.
How big is online advertising right now relative to other media?
Well, it's still down in the 10-15% of media spending overall.
And finally, what does this mean for print advertising?
I think that the bright spots on the horizon have to do with making a better connection between the offline world and the online world. Get people from the print medium into something electronic where they can get more information, get some sort of promotion, and redeem it in the store. So less of a boundary between ads that you see in print and the ads that you see online or on mobile devices.
Andrew Frank is Research Vice President with Gartner Research's media team. Andrew, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
If you have an iPhone or an iPad, then you know kids love them. But parents are often divided on whether to expose their children to the popular gadgets. Turns out the ones that do may be onto something.
I see this as eventually becoming the preferred delivery method for educational software.
I'm Kai Rizdal Learning. There's an app for that next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.